Amen. I'd ask you to please turn with me to the chapter that we read in the book of Genesis and chapter 18, the book of Genesis and chapter 18. And our subject this morning is Abraham communion with the Lord. Abraham communion with the Lord. So we continue in our study this morning in the life of Abraham, the friend of God. And the objective of these messages over the weeks is to bring out both spiritual and practical lessons from his testimony. Lessons that have meaningful relevance to us in our lives today. This is obviously one of the great purposes of the Lord in ensuring that so much of Abraham's life has been left on record for us. And so it could be said that these messages are life studies of a biblical character. Such life studies that are recorded for us in Scripture undoubtedly have a place for us in regular ministry. They provide then this spiritual and practical instruction, and they are both a challenge and a comfort and an encouragement to us. So the first thing I want us to see this morning is that Abraham was ready to commune with the Lord. Are you ready this morning for the Lord to speak to you from his word? We have sung that we are ready, but are we really ready? Well, we read in chapter 18, verse 1, "And the Lord appeared unto him," that's Abraham, "in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." Now, it was evident there that Abraham was ready to receive a visitation from the Lord. He was redeeming the time. He wasn't just sitting there lolling about, his mind all over the place. No, Abraham was using this time for meditation and devotion. Siesta time for Abraham was devotion time. It was a way of life for him. And it's very interesting to notice, if we turn to Genesis chapter 24 and verse 63, how the witness of Abraham spoke to Isaac. Because we read in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 63, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide." Undoubtedly, Isaac was following the testimony of Father Abraham. He had a great impact upon his own life, the witness and the testimony of Father Abraham. He was a man that took his devotion times seriously. And so it was that God communed with the man of faith that respected his word, that respected God's rule over his life. And God speaks to us today through his word as we wait upon him in humility and in reverence and by faith and in a willingness, Lord, to sovereignly rule in our lives. The second thing I want us to see here is that Abraham was receptive. In verse 2, "And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground." He was ready to receive and welcome these men into his home. He appreciated the honor of their visit. You see, it was siesta time in the family home. But Abraham understood immediately that it must become hospitality time. This was not convenient in culture. This was the time when they rested. It was hot. It was the heat of the day. But God's timing is not according to our timing. We may say, "Well, Lord, if you come and you speak to me in my certain time, at this particular time of the day, that will suit me. But the rest of the day is my schedule." And so we almost like conform God to our schedule. Now, Abraham was willing to overturn the normal pattern of the day, the normal pattern of mealtime, the normal pattern of hospitality, because this was God's time. And so we have to have that flexibility in our lives in Christian service. When someone knocks on the door and they want to talk to us, and we look at our watch, say, well, you know, I haven't really got time to talk to you because my schedule is already fixed for today. We have to understand that it's a great privilege. If someone knocks on the door, God may have sent them to us. And that's the most important thing. Suddenly that becomes the most important thing in our life. And all the other things that we've scheduled to get done, that can wait. I mean, you know what I'm saying, within reason, there are certain things that are absolute necessity that we have to do. But so often we build our schedules so importantly in our life that we don't really have time to serve the Lord, not properly. We think we're serving the Lord, but we're serving the Lord according to our schedule, to our criteria, to our plan, and we're not flexible. We're not open to the Lord. And Abraham was open to God's time, not his time. He was ready to receive and welcome the men into his home. He appreciated the honor of his visit. Well, siesta time became hospitality time in the family home, in Abraham's home. And the third thing I want us to see, in which Abraham was ready to commune with the Lord, was that he immediately worshipped the Lord. You see, he was a spiritually minded man, and he recognized that God had come to his home to visit him in the person of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This was a pre-incarnation visitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you read in verse 3, we read in capital letters, "My Lord," and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." And we read in the end of verse 2 that he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground. You see, when we're spiritually minded, we recognize when God is speaking to us, and we worship him, and we reverence him. Now, Abraham recognized one of those men as being the Lord. That is a pre-incarnation appearance of Christ the Lord. Because we read in these verses, verse 3, that he speaks in the singular. You notice in verse 3, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." Thy sight and thy servant. But then in verse 4, he speaks in the plural. "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree." And then in verse 5, "And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts," in the plural. "After that you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant." And they said, in the plural, "So do as thou hast said." And then in verse 9, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in thy tent." And then in the singular, in verse 10, "And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. So of the three before Abraham, one was the pre-incarnate Christ, appearing as a man together with two of his angels. They were also appearing with Christ as two other men. But Christ did not have a halo over his head for Abraham to single them out and worship him and say, "My Lord." But he recognized that God was visiting him. And the words of the Lord spoke to his heart. He realized that God was speaking to him personally. Well, we read in verse 1 that the Lord in his sovereignty appeared unto Abraham. He deigned to appear unto Abraham. He deigned to visit Abraham. And the Lord, capital L, appeared unto him. Well, we also read verse 12, the word Lord used again, but there you will see it's only a small L, a lowercase l, because that was really speaking about Abraham, her husband. Then Sarah laughed within herself and said, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure of my Lord being old also? That was just a respect for her husband. But here we have the Lord. The Lord has come to visit Abraham and Sarah. He was the Lord to be worshipped. So Abraham bowed himself to the ground and said in faith, my Lord, my Lord. Verse 3. Later in the chapter, we read that he also prayed unto him as the Lord. In verse 22. And the men turned their faces from thence, that's those other two men, and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord, the one person of those three, who was the pre-incarnate Christ. The other two angels went on towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. He interceded there on behalf of his nephew Lot. So he worshipped. And the point is this morning, are we worshipping the Lord? Do we, like Abraham, go down on our knees in humble reverence before the Lord? Do we realize the importance of worship before the Lord? Well, this event then foreshadowed the time when Christ would take upon himself a body just like ours, when he would be a man among other men, looking like other men, albeit perfect in all his ways. It was not the physical body of Christ which attracted people so much as what he said and what he did. In the New Testament, when the police went to arrest the Lord Jesus, they came back to the religious leaders. They'd seen Jesus in the flesh, but they said, we haven't arrested him because never man spake like this man. We've never heard words like this. It was his words which made the impact. And so it really was here with Abraham as the Lord was speaking to him. There was special reverence due to the Lord. He was his Lord, my Lord. He believed in him. He worshipped him by faith. And so he addressed the Lord, you will notice, as my Lord. Can you say this morning, my Lord? My Lord. And his concern was to commune with his Lord. Pass not away. Do not pass by. Pass not away. Oh no. This is a special visit. But secondly, I want us to see not only that Abraham was ready to commune with the Lord. His heart was open to what the Lord was going to speak to him. His heart was ready to commune with the Lord. But he was willing to serve the Lord. Not only to commune with the Lord, but to serve with the Lord. And that is the heart of Christian service. We commune with the Lord first, and then we can serve the Lord. There's a great danger in saying we can serve the Lord without communion with the Lord. We can do all sorts of activities and all sorts of works for the Lord. But the most important thing, first of all, God wants us to commune with him. What are you saying to me, Lord? What is your will in my life? And sometimes the Lord would have us have a time set apart, a time when he, a particular time in our life, when the Lord will have us just come apart and rest a while, that we might study his word and meditate on his word and pray and listen to his word. What are you saying to me, Lord? What is your will for me, Lord? What is your will for me in my life? And then after communion with the Lord, we are ready to serve the Lord again. And while Abraham here was willing to serve the Lord with hospitality, that was the ministry here in verse 18, the ministry of hospitality. So I want us to move now onto the characteristics of hospitality of a believer. Now, first of all, it was sincere hospitality. In verse 4, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And the first step then, practically in honouring his guests, was the feet washing ceremony, and rest for them. Wash your feet. Everything must be done to make the guests feel at home and welcome and wanted and cared for. Abraham, the man of faith, wanted the best hospitality to be given and his Lord to be honored in front of his tent door. Now I want to show you a complete contrast to this. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 7, and there we read of some hospitality that wasn't sincere. The Lord Jesus had been invited to the house of a man called Simon. And a lady had come and anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus and washed his feet. And, with her tears, she was so grateful to the Lord for forgiving all her sins. And then the Lord spoke to Simon. He said, I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, no welcome. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Ah, now, friends, we see somewhat of the secret of real hospitality. Love. Love. Love for the Lord. If we have love for the Lord, we'll open our homes and we'll be ready to receive. Love is right at the heart of this. Simon didn't have any love in his heart to the Lord. He thought he was doing the Lord a great favor in having him for dinner. Didn't even wash his feet. Didn't anoint him with oil. He was just another person. Not so with Abraham. Oh no, everything must be done to make these men feel at home, and especially the Lord. And secondly, Abraham was willing to serve the Lord. He offered sincere hospitality. He valued Christ. Is Christ the chief guest of our home? When somebody walks into our home, how do they know that we're a Christian? Somebody comes through our door and they sit in our lounge, or they come into our kitchen. How do they know that we're a Christian? Well, so much depends on the way we welcome someone, how we are. But also, really, our homes should have something about a statement that we are a Christian, that we're not ashamed. Do we hide our Bibles away? Or are we willing to put our Bible on the coffee table, in the lounge, or wherever it might be? Do they know that they've entered a Christian home? Is Christ the chief guest of our home? Well, I want us to see then wholehearted providential hospitality now in verse 5. We read in verse 5, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Now, at this point, Abraham introduces the heartfelt aspect of his hospitality. His statement, for therefore are you come to your servant, it refers to the fact that Abraham saw this visit according to the sovereignty of God. So for Abraham, the visit was to be for comforting and heartwarming experience. Abraham recognized that this visit was not simply about practical hospitality. It was also about fellowship. There was a spiritual element to this visit. And Abraham shows that a person visiting their home should be benefited wholeheartedly. You see, when a person visits a Christian home, it's not just about feeding them. It's not just about the coffee and the biscuits. It's about the conversation. We have a neighbour back in London, who came to Ashford. And she was moved simply by hospitality. She was moved to see the love of Christ simply by entering a Christian home and being given hospitality by a person who actually showed that they cared. Not just to show I give a good meal, but care for the person. That's what I mean here. Wholehearted hospitality. We realize that our hospitality is so much more meaningful, if you like. We have so much more to benefit someone with when they come into our home. We can talk to them about the Lord. Abraham shows that a person visiting our home should feel benefited wholeheartedly in their whole being. They should leave refreshed in body and in soul, having received their hospitality. You see, well, sometimes we might have a neighbour knock on our door and they might be a bit perturbed about something, misunderstanding something and perhaps not realising what's going on, and they knock on our door and they're all ready perhaps for a battle. They're all ready perhaps to have a bit of an argument. How are we going to receive them? Well, we'll welcome them in. Come and sit down. Have a chat. Let's talk about this issue. You see, we can make an impact, just a little impact, by the way we receive people and understand that we have a responsibility. You see, a Christian's hospitality should reach the parts of a person that an unbeliever's hospitality never can. Now, three guests knew that there was one tent that they could go to where they would be welcomed. There was one tent they could go to where they would receive wholehearted hospitality. And that was Abraham's tent. Is our home a welcoming home? How do we deal with people that come to our door? How do we greet them? How kind are we? How do we speak to them? How do we receive them? Not just the people we're expecting. What about the postman? God tests us, you know. God tests us. How are we going to receive different people that come to our home? We have to be so careful. How we speak to them. Are we polite? Are we kind? Or are we rude? No, we must be known as the house, the home, where when someone knocks on the door, whether it be a tradesman or a friend, they will be received politely and properly. We're a Christian home. This is what it's all about. It's love. Love is the key. The warmth. The welcome. Well, I want to turn now to diligent hospitality. Verse 6. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now, a quick glance at these verses might leave you with the impression that Abraham was in a state of panic. It seemed like he was rushing around. He tells Sarah to make the cakes quickly. How would you feel, ladies, if your husband walked into the kitchen and said, make some cakes quickly? Well, that's what happened to Sarah. Guests have suddenly arrived. Then we read of him literally running into the herd and getting hold of the best calf, then telling his servant to dress it with all haste. Why the rush? Why the rush? His actions spoke of his respect for the Lord. There was nothing casual or laid back. Oh, it'll all happen in good time. We can do it our way. We do things our way in our tent. Oh, no. Maybe they were more laid back in their tent by culture or by their way as a family. They may well have been, but this was a special time. The Lord had visited them. And they must, as it were, show great respect. And he was prepared to put himself out in his efforts for the Lord. Even though this was not the normal time for food preparation, this was in the heat of the day. And his actions showed he understood that every second in the Lord's presence counts. Every second in the Lord's presence counts. I think I may have told you this story before, but there was once a new student at Calvin Theological College where Louis Berkhof was the professor. And early one morning, this student went out for a walk. And he went for the walk, and this kind man came alongside him, and he was chatting to him. And they had a long walk and a long chat together for 15 or so minutes. And he kept asking the professor about the garden and about the building. Didn't know who he was, but he obviously, this professor knew something about the college and everything. And he was asking all these practical questions. And when he got back to his dormitory, he said to his colleague, said, "Oh, I've just been for a walk. I met a most interesting man that knew all about the building and the gardens." And they said, "Well, what did he look like?" And they said, "Well," he described what he looked like. "That's Louis Berkhof." And he said, "How silly I've been. I could have had 15 minutes of theological instruction. I could have asked him all those difficult questions and he might have been able to answer and help me. And I wasted all my time just asking him about the building." Abraham wasn't like that. He understood. This was a visitation from the Lord, and every second was precious, and everything must be done the best for the Lord. There was nothing casual about this. He showed his utmost diligence and effort. Quickly and personally, he chose the best for the Lord, the best calf. Nothing but the best would do. And that is how it is for the Lord's house. That's why it's very important to have the Lord's house in good order. So when people come in and they see the house of the Lord, and the visitors and newcomers come in and say, "Oh, these people really love the Lord. Look, even with the building, it's looking so nice and clean and tidy. They respect the Lord. They want to do the best for the Lord." Nothing but the best for the Lord. Nothing secondhand for the Lord. Everything must be the best for the Lord. And that's what Abraham was about. Only the best was good enough for the Lord. No question about it. Abraham, by his diligence, wanted to show how the Lord meant so much to him. And his visit meant so much to him. And this diligent hospitality is one of the hallmarks of a believer. It's especially, actually, required of leaders. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And verse 13. Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. We read, "Distributing to the necessity of saints, we are to be given to hospitality." That is, every one of the Lord's people is to be given to hospitality. But then if we turn on to 1 Timothy 3 verse 2, 1 Timothy 3 verse 2, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach." And then if we turn on to Titus, the next about one letter on, after 2 Timothy, Titus 1 verse 8, "But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate." And then if we move on to 1 Peter, we run to 1 Peter, and we find that after Hebrews and James, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, "Use in hospitality one to another without grudging." Oh, hospitality, friends, it's a very important ministry for us, a very important ministry, and we underestimate it at our peril. The Lord will hold us accountable at the end of our life as regards hospitality. And the reason I say this, particularly if we turn back to Hebrews 13 verse 2, Hebrews 13 verse 2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Well, that's really quite awesome, is it not? that actually God might bring someone to into our midst, into our congregation, into our home. Actually, as it were, we're entertaining angels unawares, that God actually purposely sent that person to us. Diligent hospitality. But then, humble hospitality in verse 8. And this is Abraham. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now notice here, this is very interesting. It was Abraham that served the guests as their servant. It was Abraham that stood by as a servant ready to serve during the meal. It was Abraham, the man of substance and wealth, who humbled himself. You see, Abraham in the Lord's presence became one that served. One that served. Self-image for Abraham was futility, because humility reigned in his heart before the Lord. I wonder what his servants thought. All the servants that Abraham had. And there at this mealtime, there was Master Abraham, the head of the home, the leader of this great people, with all this flock that he owned, serving these three men. Whatever was Abraham doing, they must have thought. What's come over our master? Serving these guests personally. Now, no doubt here in this account, Abraham's humility and hospitality was designed to show his servants that a greater than Abraham, their master, was among them. And that's why it's so important that pastors and ministers should be humble. That's one of the greatest characteristics that we are called to. And we struggle with this. This is one of the greatest areas in which Satan will tempt us into pride and arrogance and the wrong sort of authority, which is not gleaned from the word of God. Position, authority through position, not authority that comes out through the word of God, because that is our authority. The word of God. Well, Abraham showed, I'm a servant. When it comes to the Lord, I am just the same as anybody else. I'm a servant. I'm a servant. So how do we show this in our homes? Well, there's one way we can show in our homes. We can say grace at meal times. That when people come to our house, we say grace. And it's included in our time of hospitality. We are making a statement. Yes, we are here, but there's one greater that we look to, the Lord. It is like saying the Lord is the head of our home. And when we read and when we pray with our families, so important that you know, reading and praying with your families, with your partner, praying with your partner, with your wife, with your husband, showing that you are reading the word of God is so important. It's showing that there's a one above us. There's a Lord above us. That Christ is the head of our home. And Abraham showed he was a servant. And he served the Lord. Hospitality, friends, it's so important. Serving the Lord through the ministry of hospitality. But notice, Abraham communed with the Lord, and then he served the Lord. So remember that pattern? Remember that pattern? Otherwise, dear friends, it'll just be such a grind, Christian service. If we don't place emphasis upon our communion with the Lord, we'll just be like workhorses, we'll just be like machines, and our Christian life will be so hard. It'll be just like being like machines, day after day after day. We've got to do this, we've got to do this, we've got to do this, and we're just like machines going along in a track. There's no joy in it, really. Our heart is not really in it. But Abraham's heart was in his service because he understood he was ready to commune with the Lord. His heart was open to what the Lord would speak to him about. And so, dear friends, remember, communion and then service. Commune with the Lord, serve the Lord. Commune with the Lord, serve the Lord. And Abraham shows us here in these verses how important that is. I was expecting to go on to Sarah's life-transforming encounter with the Lord, but we'll have to do that next week. Our time is gone. But maybe the Lord would have us emphasize this morning the blessing of communion. The blessing of communion with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can look to him. We can trust in him. We can believe in him. We can pray in his precious name. We can learn of him in the Word of God. We can know God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. That is the way we come to God the Father. That's the way we know God the Father as his child, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abraham could say, my Lord, my Lord, my Messiah, my Savior, my Lord. And that was his route to communion with the Almighty God. He came in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he knew communion with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's so important for us this morning. We pray our Father in heaven. But how can we pray to our Father in heaven? Only through the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Jesus said, and I say this many times, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Amen.